风声、雨声、开盘声，声声入耳。股市、汇市、房市、天下事，事事关心。欢迎收听西雅图中文电台每周财经节目。每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平、山里胡冠名播出。电话425-321-2659。
2020年8月21日星期五，各位听众朋友们，大家晚上好，这里是西雅图中文电台每周财经节目，我是主持人丁毅。首先我们共同来回顾一下本周的股市动态。美股周五收高，道指涨逾190点，标普500指数与纳指均创了历史的新高。市场正在权衡美国总统大选、新一轮的刺激法案前景及劳动力市场情况等因素。美国七月的二手房销售量较六月猛增 24.7%， 也创下了历史的新高。道指涨 190.60 点，或 0.69%，报27,930.33点，纳指涨46.85点，或0.42%，报11,311.80点，标普500指数涨11.65点，或0.34%，报3,397.16点。本周累积是道指基本持平，纳指上涨了2.65%，标普500指数上涨0.74%。周五纳指最高是上涨到了11,326.21点，标普500指数最高上涨到了3,399.96点，均再创了盘中的历史新高。标普500指数在本周结束了熊市，并跌创新高。由于有迹象表明经济复苏可能拖延甚久，并且由于近期的美国国内经济缺乏新的财政刺激政策的支持，备受压力的投资者重新追捧科技和居家的概念股。本周美股上涨主要是得益于大型的科技股的上涨，苹果公司在本周也成为了首家市值突破2万亿美元的美国上市公司。亚马逊、谷歌的母公司 Alphabet、 微软、特斯拉等本周均录得的较大的涨幅。苹果在本周是收盘大涨 5.1%， 再创了历史的新高，市值也超过了2.1万亿美元。苹果下周一将迎来一股拆四股的股权登记日，特斯拉收高 2.4%， 股价也接近了2050美元，也创下了历史的新高。Commonwealth Financial Network 投资管理主管 Brian Price 表示，这些都是非常伟大的公司，他们很可能会持续实现稳健的盈利增长，但是人们不得不怀疑目前的股价是否蕴含了太多的市场狂热。他还表示说，如果我们开始看到市场宽度变大，其他领域也显现出强势，那对美国的股票市场的健康的状况将具有建设性。对比整个三月份的近期的低点来看，我们看到了周期性、价值引导性的行业板块出现了一些小的反弹，但没有一个是可持续的。汇市方面，美元在周五攀升，因美国经济数据暗示了企业活动出现逾一年来最强的扩张。欧元区的疲软经济数据和汇率回吐令欧元走低，英镑也回落，引欧盟首席谈判代表称与英国达成脱的协议似乎是不太可能的。美元在指数在尾盘是上扬 0.46， 报 93.20， 避免了连续第九周下跌的行情。这将意味着自2010年夏天以来维持时间最长的周线的跌势。自1990年以来九周连跌的情况也只发生了五次。佛罗里达州和其他州的疫情缓解也增加了经济的乐观情绪，支持着美元。Market 采购数据源指数，也就是 PMI 初值显示，美国表现是优于欧洲。欧元对美元下跌 0.54 至 1.1769， 稍早触及8月12日以来的最低水平，本周超过两个月以来的首次出现的周下跌。在欧元区 PMI 数据是令人失望的，而且德国、法国、意大利的冠状病毒也实现了病例的增加的状况。英镑对美元是下跌 0.94% 至 1.3090， 此前曾在周三触及了1月1日以来的新高。英国的 PMI 和零售数据是优于预期的，但脱的风险 和广泛的美元买盘打压着英镑。大宗商品方面，我们先看一下黄金。金价在周五走低，现货黄金一度大跌 1.83%， 刷新了8月12日以来的低点，至 1911.62 美元每盎司，也为6月份以来的连续两周下跌。因美元走强，并且美国的经济数据强于预期，缓解了市场对经济复苏步伐的担忧。不过随着美元的指数的回落，而美债收益率也是出现了下滑的状态，现货黄金在尾盘较日低也回升了近30美元，收于1940关口之上。整个来说，商品收盘方面， COMEX 12月黄金期货是收涨 0.50 美元，涨幅不到 0.1%， 收于每盎司1947美元，本周累计是下跌 0.1%， 为连续第二周下跌。12月交割的白银期货的价格是下跌 42.4 美分，跌幅 1.5%， 收于每盎司 26.87 美元，本周累计下跌 3%。 原油期货方面，油价是跌于 1%， 因为从欧洲到亚洲一些主要的经济体经济复苏步履蹒跚的迹象，有可能令需求反弹推迟。周五公布的一些调查显示，欧元区经济从有史以来最严重的下滑中复苏，但本月的步履蹒跚，尤其是在服务业方面，因上月解除新冠疫情封锁而释放的被压抑的需求在本月是有所减少。与此同时呢，日本的一个服务业指标下降，继续显示着服务业是处于萎缩的状态。WTI 10月的原油期货收跌是 0.48 美元，跌幅 1.12%， 收报于 42.34 美元每桶。布伦特10月原油期货收跌 0.55 美元，跌幅 1.2%， 结算价是每桶 44.35 美元。好，我们再来看一些本周的全球大公司方面的动态。苹果公司在周四致苹果公司首席执行官库克的一封信中，代表《纽约时报》、《华尔街邮报》、《华尔街日报》、《华盛顿邮报》和一些出版商的一个行业组织表示，希望获得更好的协议条款，以保留更多通过苹果公司应用商店 Apple Store 销售数字订阅获得的收入。包括新闻出版商在内的应用开发商需求向苹果公司支付通过 iOS 应用首次订阅收获收入的 30%， 订阅时间满一年后，这一抽成将降至 15%。 阿里巴巴几大最大的投资人将所持价值数十亿美元的阿里巴巴美国存托凭证，也就是 ADR 转换成了该公司的香港的上市股票。这些投资人当中包括淡马锡，许多常见的基金，尤其是亚洲的基金，都在或正在考虑将阿里巴巴的 ADR 转换成其香港的上市股票。中国致力于发展自身的芯片产业之际，全球最大的半导体设备制造商之一日本的东京电子很可能是一个不错的压注对象。在本月，中国向芯片制造商推出了新的税收优惠政策。中国已设立了国家基金专门投资于半导体行业。今年迄今，已有多家芯片公司在中国上海的科创板进行了首次公开募股 IPO， 募集了数亿十亿美元计的资金。这意味着随着中国企业的提高产能，对芯片制造工作的需求会更多，像东京电子这样的公司将从中受益。德国默克日前与京东方正在签署合作协议，双方将致力于 OLED 领域建立长期的战略合作伙伴关系，其中具体包括利用默克 OLED 材料实验室开展器件联合评估，双方加强 OLED 材料的生产供应的长期合作，以及共同加快 OLED 显示应用的技术交流等。今年7月份大众汽车交付量同比减少 0.2% 至 88.57 万辆，前7个月的交付量降幅达到 23.6%。在中国市场，大众汽车7月份销量同比增长 4.8% 至 32.85 万辆， 北美市场则下降 16% 至 6.78 万辆，西欧市场下降 1.9% 至 32.13 万辆。各品牌中保时捷表现最为抢眼，销量增长 27.8% 至 2.72 万辆。奥迪和斯达克的销量也有所增加，大众、西亚特则下降 1.1% 和 12.7%。据美国证监会披露的文件显示，小鹏汽车计划在美国首次公开募股 IPO 中发行8500万股 ADS， 对应 1.7 亿股 A 类的普通股，每股定价介于是11到13美元之间。若按招股区间的高端发行来算，募资的规模将达到 11.1 万元左右。在小鹏汽车 IPO 前，中国另外两家电动汽车厂商蔚来汽车和理想汽车已经率先在美国上市，且这两家的股价近期都呈现了大幅上涨的状态。中国北汽、福田汽车与泰国的最大财团正大集团通过合资公司公布了首次推出的皮卡及巴士的新车型，还考虑在两到三年以内在泰国设立组装厂，目标是把泰国打造为对东南亚周边国家的出口基地，力争是在今后的三到五年内在泰国的商用车市排行上上排到第三名。在2019年泰国的商用车销排量的第一是丰田，份额是 35%， 第二名是五十铃，份额是 28%，第三名是福特汽车，份额 8%。 正大集团在2012年还与上海汽车集团设立了合资公司，从2014年开始就组装生产名爵品牌的汽车。蚂蚁集团申请境外首次公开发行股票，包括普通股、优先股等各类股票及股票的派生形式，证监会已接收了审批的材料。蚂蚁集团计划申请按约2250亿美元的估值在香港和上海两地上市，最早可能在10月份。如果顺利，这将是全球最大的首次公开募股 IPO 交易，若市况有利，可能共计会募集约300亿美元的资金。持有蚂蚁集团 33% 股份的阿里巴巴集团在周四发布的财报中显示，这家即将上市的公司在截至今年三月的三个月中实现的利润约合是92亿元，约合是13亿美元。化妆品巨头雅诗兰黛表示，受疫情的影响，将在全球范围内削减约1500至2000个工作岗位，约占其员工总数的 3%， 还预计将关闭 10% 到 15% 的独立门店。中国市场不受裁员计划的影响，同时还会继续加大在华的投资。尽管新冠疫情带来的巨大的经济的不确定性，但已经是全球最大公司之一的亚马逊仍在有条不紊地招聘员工。封锁举措导致数以百万计的民众转向网上购物后，亚马逊与其他零售商一样迎来了前所未有的海量订单潮。许多人预计这种趋势将持续下去，沃尔玛和 Target 等零售公司以及等电商公司也都经历了巨大的在线订单增长，而且雇佣了数十万计的人手来处理狂增的业务。好，我们进入节目的第三个阶段，也是最后一个阶段，话题讨论时间。今天我们要讨论的话题是什么呢？首先我们要邀请我们嘉宾 Sam。 Hey Sam。
Hello。
Hey, today what would you like to discuss?
Well, there's a little company called Airbnb that is talking about filing an IPO this year. That's what I'd like to talk about.
Awesome.今天我们要和观众朋友们讨论的就是在本周其实也是相当火爆的一个话题，就是 Airbnb 即将挂牌上市。 Airbnb 公司呢，给听众朋友们一些小的背景， Airbnb 呢在中文名字我们叫它爱彼迎。爱彼迎呢是一家联系旅游人士和家有空房出租的房主的一个服务型的网站，其实是可以为用户提供多样的 整个的一个住宿信息，在2011年呢 Airbnb 的服务令人难以置信的增长了 800%， 而在创立呢是在2008年的美国加州旧金山市。 OK, so it's a very interesting topic because、basically to be honest, I'm used to be one of the customers of Airbnb, and Airbnb、as we know is established in 2008, and so far have been running for 12 years. One thing I would like to pose first is why IPO now?
That is a wonderful question.So I have a few theories, and I would basically say is they've lost a lot of money because of the COVID-19, basically damage to the travel industry. And so people since, you know, February, March, all the way through now have been spending less time traveling, and the services that Airbnb provides are less valuable. So,I think one of the reasons is、investors are, you know, looking at the stock market as a place that is going to be doing something interesting after COVID-19. And in the short term, so that means the investors are most likely going to put their money in stocks, for one. And number two, Airbnb has lost a lot of money. And so by doing a public offering, as the economy recovers, they can probably recover quicker. That's、my first theory.
第一个 Sam 提到的他的观点就是，首先是从 Airbnb 的角度来说，是公开募股是首先是需要，也先是说公司需要的资金，因为整个从新冠疫情开始，其实在新冠疫情之前的去年就有所信息显示他们为上市做出了准备，但受到新冠疫情的整个全球的蔓延的影响呢，计划呢是暂时的搁置，现在又重新的提上日程，其实也可以看出不得不通过融资然后去对其的财务进行一个支撑。因为我在年初我们也是看到了一些信息，包括它的整个一个裁员的信息，整个裁掉了将近全球的 25% 的员工，可见它其实在整个的过程当中也是需要一些开源节流的这么样一个措施来允许更多的资金链。Yeah, I totally understand from Airbnb perspective, they need more cash, they need more money, especially in the early of this year, actually they cut off 25% of their employees to make sure they can cover everything, right?
Yeah.
So from another perspective, you mentioned one thing particularly earlier. The point is, investors from their perspective, they want to, forward thinking and to bet on something they believe which is going to rise in next wave. So from that perspective, Airbnb is not a typical, or especially right now, is a very safe bet if it's not a technical company. What's your take on which this section this belong to?
So, that's a great question. If I were to say, you know, this particular company falls into information technology、from a stock market sector perspective, the services that they provide are short-term rentals, right? So it sort of kind of sounds like it's real estate, but it's really not. They're a technology company, a service company.、and so...They're kind of in that weird hybrid place, right? Normally, before COVID-19, that's a great place to be because technology plus a demand for travel and physical locations, and then everybody's a customer that potentially wants to rent their house. That's a wonderful problem to have, right? Now, people don't want to travel. People don't necessarily want people to stay in their facilities. And so, it's interesting, but I would classify them as information technology, from a sector perspective, a stock market sector perspective.
Cool. Let's predict a...刚刚 Sam 提到了这一点，我觉得是非常值得分享，因为在刚刚我们也提到了，由于有迹象表明呢，经济的复苏是有可能会拖延更久，而且在美国经济的现在呢，是国内呢是缺乏新的刺激政策，或者是大家也在等待的新一轮的刺激政策的措施的支持，所以有一些投资者呢是在重新追捧科技股和居家的概念股。无论是从哪个角度来看， Airbnb 似乎都不是直接对应的关系，因为也不是直接的科技公司，像传统的刚刚我们在 节目的第一个阶段提到的这些大型的科技公司，就比如说是苹果公司、微软公司，但是它也不是纯的居家的概念，因为 Airbnb 也是一个租赁公司，所以在 Sam 的整个的一个预计来说，其实还是属于信息方面的一个 sector， 但是我们在还没有公开之前呢，我们也只是预计的一些估计。The next question I want to ask Sam, or I want to hear your opinion about is before COVID-19, there are several companies is really like getting a lot of interest from the industry, the market, like Airbnb is one of them. Another one is called Uber, right? So yes. Which is all like the gig economy, which we sort of touched on before. And also another term I learned recently is called sharing economy. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, I really want to hear your opinion about how do you think COVID-19 has what impact or what direction going to push sharing economy going to go?
So for the short term, I believe that it's going to be hurt, as evident by a lot of things. You know, there's some signs of recovery as COVID-19 is coming into control in certain areas of the world. And so some of the travel is getting better. Some of the travel markets, I should say, are getting better. And same thing with people just being more comfortable doing some of the sharing economy, gig economy type things. But long term, what I think is going to be a demand of customers is probably more automation. So whether that's automation coming into your Airbnb rental where, you know, they really don't want to see a person or have to exchange a key with somebody just to limit their exposure to things. I think that's one possible trend in the future. Same thing with, you know, maybe it's going to push the Uber drivers out of jobs quicker because people want a sterile, potentially self-driving car that could, you know, self-clean after delivering their folks. So I think short term, it's going to be bad. Medium term, I think it's going to be the same as before. But I think it's going to be an acceleration in the demand for more automation in those spaces because the technology is going that way, and I think consumers are going to want more of that, especially given COVID-19 has changed everybody's psyche. I think people want more safety and more predictability and less exposure to things. So I think that's going to have a long-term impact on consumers' psyche.
Yeah, it's a very interesting term and very interesting to see how external factors is influence the entire economy, because sharing economy used to be very hot, or right now is also very hot, but different degree hot, because that one is literally is after sharing economy because of technology is helping the traditional economy transform, right? Like customer to customer, especially cost to customer perspective, and then like Uber and Airbnb last year this time with different using a different tone to describe it.
Yeah, the basics of the economy, supply and demand, you know, if those get modified for any reason, external like COVID, all the previous assumptions fail us. None of the stuff that we assume would keep working works, right? So that's a very interesting and humbling lesson.
刚我和 Sam 一些交流就是关于整个的其实相当于说是 Uber and Airbnb 所共属的一种新的一个经济体形式叫做共享经济。其实共享经济在近几年是非常火爆的。它的源头呢其实当时是在1978年的时候已经形成了。而现在呢是因为在第三方尤其是现在更加创新的一个信息技术为平台的基础上，第三方呢就是可以通过比如说商业机构啊、组织啊、个人啊借助这些平台分享知识经验，以至于后来的比如说是闲置的这些房间就是 Airbnb， 还有一些比如说闲置的车辆啊，这种一种共享的这么一个概念型的一个经济体的形式。所以说在COVID-19 发生之后呢，像这些直接客户和客户支持的这种经济体就出现了大规格的一些变动，所以就相当于说是整个的这种经济体不单单是 Airbnb， 在 Uber 其实在 COVID-19 下面也是出现了很大的一个变化。这些当时的硅谷的独角兽呢，在今年是或多或少都受到了一些影响。 The last question before we finish today's talk is going to be also we're going to go back to Airbnb. So we talk about Airbnb is going to be IPO'd and the reason behind it is finance. Then I want to ask from your perspective, if Airbnb IPO'd, would you consider Airbnb or is there any factors you're going to look at before you decided to purchase Airbnb shares?
So I don't really know for sure, but if I had to choose right now, what I would basically say is I would invest in Airbnb from the simple perspective of they've shown good value and I personally like their service. And I think COVID-19 will eventually end and things are going to go forward. So from that perspective, I think I would invest. I wouldn't invest a lot personally there because I would probably look to more resilient to companies such as technology companies, whether it's Amazon's, the Google's, the Microsoft's, and so on, in these particular situations where they provide essential services, right? And that might just be a bias of mine because of the recent COVID-19 things, but if you really think about it, COVID-19 has taught us what provides value. And value is, you know, essentials. Airbnb, that's a luxury, right? And so I want there to be a bright future, but I also want to basically earn my money through stable things and hopefully get some extra through some Airbnb investments as well. But I would not bank on it being the sole money stream for my portfolio.
Also, one thing probably we should consider is we can check on hotels and the traveling stocks probably can give a certain indication how Airbnb is going to go.
Right, yeah. If they really keep disrupting them, those stocks in theory will not do as well.
Sam 刚刚说到的最后一点呢，也就是相当于说是在投资的时候，其实很多情况下我们也是让自己的较多元化的投资，就比如说像Airbnb， 它所属的是整个的一种相当于说是人之间需要来往啊，像很大情况下会受比如说是像我们提到的航空业啊、旅游业这种各种影响，其实它整个都是在一个 ecosystem 里面，所以很多这种影响都是相互的。Airbnb 呢，在今年其实它的 CEO 也宣布了，也公开的预示了整个的2020年的收入呢，可能会不及2019年收入的一半。所以也是可见的 Airbnb 呢，也是在整个的挂牌上市之前呢，虽然说交易员依然对旅行股是谨而慎之的一个告诫，但 Airbnb 呢势必是要在今年完成上市了。好，以上呢就是节目的全部内容，非常感谢大家的收听，我们下期再见。
每周财经节目由瑞迈太平洋房地产 REMAX Pacific 总裁胡秀平山里胡冠名播出，电话 425-321-2659。